Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 744. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about hikes and hops, lava tubes and lakes, lava lands and painted hills, as we go to Bend and Central Oregon. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Central Oregon. I'd like to welcome to the show Catherine Ryan Gregory from toandfrofam.com, who's come to talk to us about Central Oregon. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Chris. I'm glad
to
be here.
If people didn't get it, To and Fro Fam is a family-centered travel blogging site.
Yep, that's right. So it's mostly family travel, but I am of the firm belief that parents should also travel by themselves or with friends. And so it has a little bit for everybody.
Excellent.
On there.
And we'll talk more about that and a couple of other projects that Catherine's doing later on. But first, we're going to have you fall in love with her as we talk about Central Oregon. Now, Catherine, what's your connection to Central Oregon?
Well, I grew up in Oregon, in Eugene, which is a couple of hours from Central Oregon, and my family traveled around the state and the Pacific Northwest quite a bit. So I grew up going to Central Oregon on family vacations and so forth, and then when I was an adult, I moved back to Oregon, and now pretty much whenever I need a dose of sun, since I live in Portland, I try to get over to Central Oregon because it's sunny almost all of the time there, and there's just so much to see and so much to do. Like I'll describe. So I think you'll kind of understand with so much happening in Central Oregon, I just always love to go back.
And how many times have you been there in the past month?
Twice. I took my kids there the last two weekends. It's been a little cloudy and gray here in the Portland area, so I've been craving sun.
Excellent. Well, and we've already told you something that is different about Central Oregon than the probably better known portions of Oregon. But why should someone go to Central Oregon?
Well, the way I see it, Central Oregon is really unique for a couple of different reasons. First of all, it is like an outdoors paradise for people who love to spend time outside. It's sort of the place in the area to go, except without some of the pretension that other places get with the reputation of the skiing chalets and all of that. Bend sort of has the best of all of those areas, but without any pinkies in the air, if you will. And then sort of along those lines, it's also a beer central. So if any of your listeners, as I imagine, enjoy themselves a craft brew or two or more, Bend has some of the most breweries per capita. There are actually something like one craft brewery in the city for every 4,000 residents. So that's quite a density of beer. And then third, it is like a volcano hotspot. It's one of only four U.S. cities that has a volcano within city limits. And Chris, as you'll hear me talk about, Central Oregon is shaped by volcanic activity from, you know, eons ago up until just 1,000 years ago or so. So it just has incredible landscape and so many things to do that relate to volcanoes. So it's a pretty cool
place.
And
we will, I assume, get into the wisdom of whether one wants to go to a city that has a volcano in the middle of town. But first, what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Well, I limited myself to a week itinerary in Central Oregon.
Or I limited you to a week.
I know, you'll have to shut me up here sometimes. I get so excited about it. But I'm going to walk us through a 7-day itinerary that's centered in Bend. Okay. So we'll use Bend as a hub and take some day trips from there. But I recommend staying in Bend just because it has the best in terms of facilities and food and is really accessible to a lot of the places in the surrounding Central Oregon area.
Excellent. So we'll start in Bend. What are we going to do in Bend before we leave town or run fleeing a volcano?
Hopefully not that. It's been safe for the past 1,500 years or so. So I think you're safe for now. But we're going to start in Bend, which is about 2 hours or 2.5 hours drive from Portland and ditto Eugene, which are the nearest main airports. And I recommend starting in the city to get your bearings. And actually, the best way to do that is to go atop a volcanic mound, which is called Pilot Butte. It's within city limits, and you can either drive to the top or you can hike to the top. It's about an easy 2 miles, and you get a 360-degree view of the city and the surrounding mountains and high desert. So you can see the mountains that Central Oregon is so famous for, like Mount Bachelor, the Three Sisters, Broken Top, and it kind of gives you a sense of the lay of the land. So you can see the different areas of Bend, you can see the Deschutes River, and over to the east, you can see sort of the high desert that stretches out into the horizon.
Okay. And we should clarify, this is now considered a lava dome from an extinct volcano. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I feel much better.
It's an extinct volcano. Yeah. And so it doesn't have, you know, the crater that you'll see, like my kids draw in their pictures of volcanoes, but is more of like a mound. And it's not terribly tall either, but it really does give you a great vantage point for Bend and the surrounding area.
Okay. Excellent.
And then from there, I recommend going to two of the most sort of happening neighborhoods in Bend. You can explore the Old Mill District, which has converted a bunch of old mill buildings, as you can imagine, into sort of an upscale shopping, cultural, dining area. And it's right along the river, the Deschutes River. So you can rent a bike or bring your own and cycle around on the really wonderfully maintained bike paths along there. And actually, during the summer, you can hear live music, I mean, during non-COVID times at least, from the Leschwab Amphitheater, which has live music throughout the nice weather months. And it's just right across the river, and you can hear it in the nighttime for free.
Okay.
Which is a sort of a nice bonus. And then nearby there is the Box Factory. And it's sort of a strange name, but it's more newly renovated area where it has sort of quirky shops and sort of small boutique-y type restaurants. And it's a really fun area to just walk around and explore a bit.
And one would assume from the imaginative name that it's a former Box Factory.
How did you guess? Yeah, that is absolutely right. And if I can give a little shout out to Foxtail, which is a local bakery, it has these amazing biscuit sandwiches and also some pretty murals inside. So it makes for a nice stop. So after you grab a bite to eat or even get something to go, as is more likely these days, you can head on over to Drake Park, which is sort of one of the local landmarks. It is this beautiful green space along the Deschutes River in the heart of Bend. And it actually goes along Mirror Pond, which is, of course, made famous by Deschutes Brewery, which is named a beer after Mirror Pond. And you can kind of walk along on both sides. You can cross the footbridge and from there walk into downtown Bend. And I love the different shops. There are a couple of shops that are particular to local Bend and Central Oregon artists and small businesses. And whenever I travel, I like to make a point of buying something from local artisans. And so that's pretty much the first place that I head when I head into Bend. And then from there, I think you have your pick of which breweries to head
to. We're going to get there eventually.
Right. Or many times, depending on your preferences. But last time I counted, there were something like 22 different breweries inside of Bend. And like I said, the most famous is Deschutes, which has gotten quite large at this point. You can get it all over the country. But my favorite is 10 Barrel. And it has good bar food and delicious beer. And also it has canned pre-made cocktails that you can get to go for anyone who doesn't love beer or can't have gluten. It's a sort of nice crowd pleaser. And it's also really kid friendly.
Because their beer is very kid friendly, or because they have other things besides beer?
I think that they know that the parents want beer. And so they provide, you know, a great kids menu and little activities. And there are outdoor eating areas and seating areas too. And then speaking of feeling like a kid, if you want to get nostalgic after your dinner at the brewery, then you can go and find the country's last open Blockbuster.
Oh my gosh, I remember hearing that.
I know. You can take a picture in front of Blockbuster. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Eugene, we'd always go to the Blockbuster to get movies every so often. And yeah, it's a relic of the past. It's a dinosaur. You would think that it would have gone extinct along with the volcanoes, but it's still kicking and bend.
Okay.
So that, I think, probably does it for the first day. After that, after a full belly and a couple of beers, you're going to want to bed down for the night and get ready for the next day, which is going to be a day trip to the Newberry National Volcanic Monument. Okay. So this is actually a volcano, but folks go there and say, well, where's the volcano? And the funny answer is, well, you're standing inside of it. So it's actually an extinct volcano. Yes, it's no longer active, but it's about the size of Rhode Island. The thing
enormous. Okay.
Yeah. So you're actually standing inside it when you explore the different points of the monument. I recommend starting with the Lava River Cave. It's only open seasonally, so it's not open in the winter, and that's partly because of the weather and also partly to protect the bat populations that live inside. But when you are able to hike through Lava River Cave, which is also the state's, I believe, longest underground cave that you can hike through, you won't see any bats. Like, they're nocturnal, so they won't bother you when you hike through during the day. But it's this amazing experience when you climb down these metal stairs into literally a tube made of lava with broken rocks all around you, and you have to have really strong lights in order to see through the absolute pitch darkness. And you can just hike a little ways. You can hike as far or as long as you want before turning around. And it actually fills up. It's pretty hard to get into because they don't have any overflow parking in order to limit the number of people who have access at one time. Okay. So you want to go early in the morning, and you want to wear warm clothing because it is about 40 degrees inside the cave, and then wear closed-toed shoes as well.
And I'm seeing that it is a mile long. So when you say I can hike as long as I want, as long as I want to hike a mile or less.
Yeah, I should have clarified. I put that in there because the last time I visited, we went with my kids and my in-laws, and we ended up turning around a bit early because my kids were cold or they didn't want to go any farther, whatever excuse they came up with. And my mother-in-law has had double knee surgery, and so she was able to go for a good mile, but we didn't make it all the way to the mile end.
Well, and as is the case with other caves, they do encourage that you should not wear shoes that you have worn into some other cave or mine where bats live, so that you don't pass along potentially white nose syndrome, which can hurt the bats.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not only shoes, but any clothing at all, even if you have used it. So they ask you to not wear a jacket that you might have worn to another cave.
Good to know.
Yeah. And so from there, you can head over to the Lava Lands Visitor Center. So this is an interpretive center, which is always nice to stop in at. But truly the main draw is Lava Butte. So you can either walk up to the top or drive up, or you can also take a shuttle to the top of Lava Butte and then walk around the rim of, again, an extinct volcano. And it's really interesting to step over the different kinds of volcanic rock in this area. And on top of Lava Butte, you have this red sort of pockmarked stone that feels so light, it doesn't even feel like a rock. And you can also climb up the ladder to this viewpoint area. I think it was an old fire tower. And again, get just a really incredible view of the area.
Got it. And the redstone would be pumice stone, or if you're in if you're in Hawaii, that would be I don't know the other languages' names for it, but that's where I learned about volcanoes was in Hawaii. So I always see it from that point of view.
Oh, you're teaching me something too, Chris.
Well, in Hawaii, it's easy to remember because it's a-ah and pohoihoi, and a-ah is the sharp stuff that when you step on it, you go ah. So
I'll have to remember that. I should also mention too, I try to lessen my eco footprint whenever I travel. And if you're the same too, during peak season, you can take a shuttle from downtown Bend to the Lava Lands Visitor Center to the top of the Butte for only $2 round trip. So it's a really great way to sort of cut down on your emissions and also save some money. That said, though, a lot of this area is best accessed by car, including the next spot that I recommend, which is called Big Obsidian Flow. And as you can probably imagine, it was a big flow of lava that turned into obsidian. So it's not terribly uniquely named. But this was actually from the most recent eruption in this part of Central Oregon. It erupted only 1,300 years ago, so around the 8th century. And this is just a really short, easy hike. It's about a half mile loop with a couple of viewpoints throughout. And it's not entirely obsidian, as the name might suggest, but you do get to spot some of the glassy, sharp rock. I'm not sure what the name in Hawaii would be, but here it's obsidian. Sure. And you can, again, just kind of walk along and see the different, I guess, the diversity of what volcanoes can create. And it feels sort of otherworldly. There are these strangely shaped piles of rock all around you. And so, yeah, the Big Obsidian Flow is another great place to stop on this part of the day trip.
And I assume you're on the Big Obsidian Flow Trail if I want to hike into that? Okay.
Yeah. And it's really well marked off of the road, so it's pretty easy to find. And then if you do have time and want a little bit more of a short hike, there's Paulina Creek Falls, which is just a short ways up the road from Big Obsidian Flow. And it's a really easy hike. You can either just walk the accessible trail to the very top of the falls, where you can overlook the water sort of cascading into a pool below. Or there's just a short, but maybe a little bit steep hike down to the base of the falls. And if you're really adventurous, you can sort of cross over the creek there and climb up the rocks and sort of be in the spray of the waterfall. But that's just depending on how brave you're feeling at the moment. And then finally, to wrap up the day, I love Crux Fermentation Project in Bend. It's a brewery, but it's also sort of this like neighborhood hub. So you can go and you can get your beer and you can order food from there. But they also have this big lawn where kids can play. They have lawn games. Sometimes they have live music. And they also have a series of food trucks. So you can go and grab your food, grab your beer, and sit down on the lawn and have some delicious dinner under the stars.
Excellent.
So if you're ready for day three, you can head on over to Smith Rock, which is actually the place where I went in Central Oregon the last two weekends with my kiddos. I just love Smith Rock State Park. It is actually sort of the home of modern rock climbing. And when you go, you'll definitely see why. In the surrounding landscape, it's pretty flat. And then you look over to your left as you're driving close. It's about 45 minutes or so from Bend. And you see these huge cliffs coming out of nowhere, just jutting up out of the earth. And there are these gorgeous, like, orange colors. And the way that the shadows play over them is just breathtaking. And it's another place that you want to get to early. It's popular. It's well-trafficked. And the parking lot fills quickly. But for just a $5 fee, when you get there early enough, you can park and then spend the entire day, if you want, exploring the different trails. You don't even have to learn how to rock climb. You can just sort of explore on your own 2 feet. And that's what I typically do.
And there's usually, it sounds like, people who are rock climbing that you can watch rock climbing.
Yeah, it's almost this like game of hide and seek or like a scavenger hunt, because you're not terribly close up to them, right? Like, you might be seeing them from a distance. And you might catch some movement out of the corner of your eye and then look closer or pull out your binoculars and realize that it's a teeny tiny human climbing up this sheer rock face. And you can see a lot of that just from the mostly flat trails around the parking area. Or you can cross the little river there and go up Misery Ridge Trail, which is not quite as scary as it sounds. It's not entirely miserable. Just the first part of it is quite steep. But after that, it takes you through places where you can see some of the more famous rock faces that are most popular with rock climbers, like Monkey Face.
Okay. So bring our binoculars. Okay.
Bring your binoculars. And also you can just head along some of the easier trails too. If a hiking trail with the name Misery in its name is not really your thing, there's the Flat River Trail or the Homestead Trail can take you to a beautiful viewpoint of the cliffs on the other side of the park. And you might want to bring a picnic lunch. There are not a lot of facilities, like there are restrooms and so forth in the park, but there's not a cafe or a restaurant, anything like that. So you might want to pack some food from Bend. Like you can go to one of the more upscale grocery stores like Market of Choice, which is an Oregon chain, or to a place like Mother's Juice Bar to grab, you know, a wrap or some salad to bring with you.
Well, and we should say that you're doing a lot of outdoor activities, but that's really kind of what Bend is about. If people haven't caught on yet.
Yeah. And one of the things that I love about Bend is sort of this local spirit that it's always a good time to go outside. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going on like a 40-mile bike ride, which is not really my thing, or if you're just taking like a short walk along the river. If it's winter, if it's summer, if it's spring, if it's fall, pretty much any time of year, you can find people in Bend just spending time outdoors. And that's, again, like I said in the intro, it's almost always sunny there. They do get quite a lot of snow, but even in the winter, most of the time it's clear skies. And so there's really very few excuses that I can think of to avoid going outside when you're in Central Oregon.
Well, in the wintertime, skiing is popular. I know my bachelor has a ski resort. But what is your favorite season in Central Oregon?
I think fall is actually my favorite season. And that's because it's still warm, but it is sort of the shoulder season, so there aren't nearly as many visitors. So during winter and especially during summer, Bend can get a bit congested and Central Oregon in general can get busier for good reason because the weather is amazing and there's so many things to do. But in the fall, some of those crowds thin out. And sort of everyone there is a little bit more laid back. They don't have the pressures of all the tourism. And it's still just gorgeous to explore.
Okay. Where to next?
So my next day, sort of continuing on that theme, is going to be enjoying the outdoors closer inside of Bend. We've talked about a few day trips that are heading out from Bend as a hub, but the thing I'm going to talk about next is exploring some of the outdoors activities inside Bend itself or just barely outside. So I recommend starting with a hike at Tumalo Falls. It's probably the most famous short hike there in Bend. But again, this is a theme. It gets crowded, so go first thing in the morning as the parking lot is actually quite small. And I want to just note here that when you're looking up Tumalo Falls on your phone, you might be tempted or that your phone might try to get you to go to Tumalo State Park, which is not the same thing at all. And I say from experience, if you're trying to get to Dakota to Tumalo Falls, then don't go to Tumalo State Park. It's 100% different and in the opposite direction. So Tumalo Falls is a pretty mellow hike to this really beautiful waterfall that you can see from afar, and then you can also get up close and continue along in the sort of high desert forest surrounded by all the pines. And it's just a lovely little hike that you can start your morning. And then after that, if it's warm outside, so during the summer especially, you can do like pretty much everyone else does and go play on the river. Now you can rent a tube and float down the Deschutes. You can rent a kayak or a canoe. You can just go play in the water like at McKay Park where you can splash and watch the kayakers doing tricks in the waves. But pretty much everyone to the river during the warm days. Bend locals are kind of famous for kicking off a little bit early from work in the summer and going to play outside. So you always want to do like the locals do, right? So head to the river. Okay. And then one thing that I have loved that I did in Bend, actually for mine and my husband's, I think it was 10th anniversary, wedding anniversary, we went to Bend and we took a moonlight canoe trip with Wanderlust Tours in Bend. That was just an incredible experience. So we went up to Hosmer Lake with Wanderlust in the moonlight. And in the starlight, we paddled around on this canoe and just, it was magical. It was so quiet out there on the pond. And if you've never done anything like that, which I never had, then this is a great experience to do it safely with a tour guide who can tell you what to do and provide all the equipment mm-hmm. for you.
And this is one of those trips, as you're saying, without the kids.
Now that my kids are a little older, sure. I think they could have done the canoe trip. But for that one in particular, the kids were not invited. It was more of a romantic trip with just the two of us. We've earned it, especially after all these years. So for the next day, we're on day five. For anyone keeping track, I'm going to recommend going to Sisters. Mm-hmm. It's a nearby Central Oregon town toward the west. And this is just like this teeny little old west charming town. It's much smaller than Bend. And it's nice to spend a little day trip here. I don't necessarily think that you need to spend more than a day in Sisters, but 24 hours is a good amount. So you can start by caffeinating, of course, right, at Sisters Coffee Company, which is this lovely, cute little coffee place. And then you can drive straight to Skylight Cave. So this is one of those places that pretty much no one knows about. And of course, now I'm like, it's like on Pinterest and say like, oh, the hidden gem. Well, it's not so hidden anymore once Pinterest starts talking about it. But Skylight Cave is out of the way cave, as you can imagine, where you hike down under the ground. And then during the warm months, so generally, I think it's from May through September or so, in the morning, the sun streams through these holes in the top of the cave, so like in the ceiling mm-hmm. of the cave, and they stream down almost like a spotlight. And you can walk through this one part of the cave and just see these beams of light coming through almost as if you're on stage, and you can see the motes of dust swirling. And it really is an amazing experience. It's a bit out of the way from Sisters. And again, this is another time when the directions on your phone are not great, especially because you'll probably lose service when you're driving through. So I recommend printing the directions before you head out. And I actually have really specific directions on my blog. If you just search Skylight Cave, then they'll pop up really, really quickly and easily. So you're going to either want to do like a screenshot on your phone or print them out before you head out.
The other thing I'd recommend for places like this where you may get out of cell phone range, which is a lot of places in Western U.S., you can have that happen, is the app maps.me, where you can download maps for the, like the whole state of Oregon and have them on your phone. And whether you lose cell phone coverage or not, you can still navigate and get turn-by-turn directions. Not quite as good as Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever, but it really has come in quite handy, and we've used that both internationally and in the U.S. And it's free. So
that I love how many apps and different tools there are out there for travelers. It just makes life so much easier. So after you have explored a little bit of Skylight Cave and driven back to Sisters, you can just walk around downtown. So it has this main strip that goes through the center of town that is filled with sort of these old west style building fronts and sort of old timey candy shops and so forth. They also have a few art galleries, and you can also check out or even buy quilts. Sisters is famous for a quilt show that happens every July, but no matter what time of year you're in Sisters, you can check out a lot of the textile arts. It's really a point of pride for Sisters. And then to wrap up your day, there is this really quirky and a pretty, I think maybe the only in the country, beer spa. It's called Hop in the Spa. I know, right? Like, we Oregonians truly love beer.
I've run across another beer spa, but I can't tell you where it is. Too many shows. I don't remember whether it was in the U.S. or not.
Okay, so it is not the only beer spa. However, it is the only beer spa in Sisters. So it's really taking it to the next level. And you're not soaking in beer, point of clarification. You're soaking in hot water, and they have different quote-unquote recipes that include variety of herbs and minerals and different ingredients that go into beer, like hops and so forth. And of course, as you can guess, it comes with a glass of beer.
Well, of course. Because otherwise that would be cruel.
I know, right? It, interestingly, has a bar, but it's by membership only. So it's sort of this exclusive beer pub for locals who are really into their beer and want to sip exclusively without a bunch of crowds around.
Okay. Good to know. It looks like it may have been the first one in the U.S. As of 2019, there were at least three.
Well, there you go. They were pioneers.
There you go.
So for day six, this is actually one of my favorite days. I recommend heading up the Cascades. There's a scenic byway, the Cascade Lake Scenic Byway, that goes up the mountains outside of Bend. And it's one of my favorite places in all of the West, probably, not only in Central Oregon.
When you say the Cascades, for those of us in the West, we know exactly what you're talking about, but I'm not sure that everybody knows. You're talking about a range of mountains that separate the Willamette Valley, where you grew up, from Central Oregon. One of the reasons why Central Oregon is dry and the Willamette Valley and Portland and Eugene and all those things are wet.
Right. So the Cascades are, again, like this volcanic mountain range, and they stretch up far enough that they block the cold, damp, wet air from the west from crossing over into the east. And really, when you cross, for example, Mount Hood, going from the western part of the state over into central and eastern Oregon, you can almost see the point where it crosses from the wet western forests of Doug firs and cedars over into the central and eastern Oregon forests of ponderosa pines and juniper. And personally, I love the Central Oregon high desert forest. I mean, it is just the smell alone is going to make you come back again and again. But yes, so like you said, the lakes and the Cascades are these series of lakes in the mountains. And so they're alpine lakes, not terribly warm, but just breathtaking. And you can drive up along the scenic byway. It's sort of this windy highway up through the mountains. And honestly, you could stop at any and all of the lakes along the way and see something that's A, beautiful, and B, different from the lake that you saw before. So you might check out like Devil's Lake, which has this beautiful green water, or you can see Hosmer Lake, which I mentioned before, and on the moonlight canoe. But during the day, it's this little bitty lake that's filled with reeds. It has this gorgeous view of the mountain behind it, of Mount Bachelor. And when I was recently paddleboarding there, I was watching osprey and bald eagles dive for fish, and I saw a river otter in the lake. I mean, it is just idyllic.
Mount Bachelor is going to be one of your snow-capped mountains pretty much all year round?
Pretty much all year round, yeah. And I'm going to come back to Mount Bachelor at the end of this day's recommendations. So you're right on track, Chris. You and I are thinking
alike. Well, one thing I should say, we talked about rain shadow here, that this is in the rain shadow of the Cascades when we talk about Bend. So the average amount of rain in the U.S. for a city is 38 inches of rain a year. Portland is more than that. Not that much more than that, 43. But Bend is 12 or less.
Right. So it's really, you're not getting a lot of rain. Like we said, you're getting a lot of sun. And you do get quite a lot of snow during the winter, and that accumulates throughout the winter months and can last actually through June or so. So when we're talking about going up on the lake and kayaking or paddleboarding, we're not talking mid-spring here. This part of the Cascade Lakes Byway is going to be closed due to weather until they're able to clear the snow. Okay. So once you've stopped at a couple of lakes, you also might want to take a few of the short hikes around there. I really like one that leads to Lucky Lake. It's about a 2.5 mile, pretty moderate to easy hike, and it takes you up, as you can imagine, to Lucky Lake, which is this beautiful clear blue lake that reflects Broken Top and Middle Sister and South Sister mountains. And it has a swimming area, and I was going to say
that's probably
about
cold
swimming
water,
in
yeah.
cold water. But Lucky Lake is shockingly warm. At least it is by August. I mean, it is significantly warmer than the other lakes, and I have no idea why. Maybe there's some geothermal action going on beneath the lake, but it is dispersed camping. So there aren't a lot of developed areas around the lake, save one swimming area. But you can go past that main swimming area that's right where the trail meets the lake and continue walking around the lake until you find a little quieter spot, one that you can walk out on some logs, jump in the water, you can kind of lounge on the shore and get away from some of the people who might be hanging out at the developed swimming area. Okay. And then coming back to what we were talking about earlier with Mount Bachelor. So during the summer, you can actually stop at Mount Bachelor on your drive back from the Cascade Lakes into Bend. And you can ride the lift, the ski lift, up to the Pine Marten Lodge for dinner. So at this point, the Mount Bachelor won't be open for skiing, but you can still go up to the lodge and enjoy a delicious meal while the sun sets around you. And it just is gorgeous.
Okay.
So we are almost done with our week in Central Oregon, but I don't think a week-long trip to this area would be complete without visiting the Painted Hills and the John Day Fossil Beds. This is just an unforgettable part of the state that's a bit out of the way. It's not unusual to meet people, even who grew up in Oregon, who have either never heard of the Painted Hills and the John Day Fossil Beds, or at least have never been there. But I'm very glad for your listeners who are now in the know that they can go drive in just a couple of hours from Bend to the Painted Hills. And they are just like you might imagine. There are these beautiful rolling hills throughout the countryside that are painted, it almost seems, in vibrant colors. You'll see reds, yellows, golds, ochre, even black in some parts. And throughout the Painted Hills area, so the Painted Hills are one part of three parts within the John Day Fossil Beds National Monument. And one thing that I love about this area is that it is stunning, but it's not like you have to hike to the top of 10 mountains in order to see something stunning. All of the trails and the short hikes around here are between a quarter mile and a mile and a half. So Painted Cove Trail takes you through these deep, vibrant red hills. So it feels almost as if you're on Mars walking around on the red planet. And the Painted Hills Overlook Trail gives you a totally different point of view from above these golden rolling hills. And so really, you can kind of pick and choose or go see all of them, which is definitely doable in a day to hit up 4 or even 5 trails within the Painted Hills area. And then if you have a little bit more time, it's about an hour drive from there to the Sheeprock unit of the John Day Fossil Beds. And this is another part of this national monument area that is actually quite different from the Painted Hills. So you're not going to see the reds and the yellows, but this is more like these crumbled and broken rocks, these cliffs. And this part of Central Oregon is famous for its fossils, as you might imagine, since it's the Fossil Beds National Monument. And they have managed to find just thousands and thousands of fossils here, and not only of plants, but also of actually some quite large prehistoric mammals, things like four-tusked elephants and camels and rhinos that actually used to live here in North America. So you can go to the Paleontology Center within the Sheeprock unit, and you can also just head around the different hiking trails and also Mascal Overlook to get the sweeping views of the plains and the rock formations. But one thing I do want to note is that there is no water available in the National Monument. There are like maybe one or two restrooms and maybe a few places to drop off garbage, but plan on bringing all of the food and water you need and plan on packing out any trash that you might have.
Well, and we should say, I think you said it was a ways away. I'm saying it's about 2 hours from Bend. And for some people who don't live in the West, that may seem like a long day trip. Some of us do that more regularly. And I confess that I'm one of the reasons why we're including this, because Catherine will testify to the fact that pitching a show for Amateur Traveler is sometimes a pain in the rear because I can get really picky. But when I saw pictures of some of the geological features at John Day fossil beds and at some of the other things we've talked about already, that was when I was sold. I was like, okay, this, now you've got something that is unique and worth going to.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a reason that I recommend saving it for the last of your trip. It's just a delectable cherry on top of your Central Oregon trip.
Excellent. So that was our last day. Anything else you want to say about the itinerary before we get to some of our wrap-up questions?
I just want to say that you don't have to go in this order, of course. You don't have to spend 7 full days here in order to get a taste of Central Oregon and of Bend. You know, you can pick and choose. Like I, for example, don't typically spend a full week in the area. I'll go for day trips or a couple of days at a time. But really, there's just so much to do. And I could have gone on and on. So it's nice that you can tailor whatever it is that you want to see to what mood you're in or what you're into. So if you're not into strenuous hikes, then you can take it easy, or you can hit up more of the 22 breweries in Bend. Or if you're feeling really outdoorsy, you can rent mountain bikes and bike around in the hills and on some of the more strenuous trails. So you can really customize it to whatever you're feeling like in the moment, whatever your abilities or interests
Excellent.
Are.
Excellent. One thing I wanted to clarify when we're talking about it being a very sunny place, remember we're talking to somebody from Portland. And so I want to put this in a little perspective. The average number of sunny days per year for a city in the U.S. is 205. Portland gets 144. And Bend gets 158, but then another 105 that are mostly sunny. So it gets 260 days that are mostly sunny to sunny. So much more sunny than Portland, sunnier than most cities, if you count both of those, but not the sunniest place by far, but certainly sunnier than Portland.
Chris, you're popping my bubble.
I live in a city that gets 257 days of sun a year. So not today, as it turns out.
It feels very sunny
exactly.
to me.
We just need to put it in perspective. So the funniest thing, too, that I learned during this show is because you were talking about Sisters, I learned that I have a cousin who is a sculptor in Sisters. So if you get to sculpture, if you go to Art by Russell and you see a sculptor there, say hi for me. So
I will. I'm going to have to stop by on my next trip through Sisters.
And if you were in the prettiest spot in Central Oregon, where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Oh, Chris, that's so funny you ask, because this is actually the place that I go to in my head when I can't sleep.
Oh, that's excellent.
And whenever I'm feeling anxious, which is probably more often these days than not, I go to this little creek in the Cascade Lakes area, and it's about a mile north of the trailhead to Lucky Lake. And it's a dispersed camping area, so it's not developed in any way. There's no water, there's no toilet, but it has this little creek that is the clearest, brightest teal blue that you will probably ever see outside of Hawaii. And I take my paddleboard there and I just sort of lazily paddle up and down this little creek and watch the foot and a half long rainbow trout below me and just relax and completely disengage from everything in the world. And I think it might be the most beautiful spot in all of Central Oregon.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Central Oregon.
I love that Bend takes its beer so seriously. Everybody in Bend has extremely strong opinions about craft beer. They'll be very quick to tell you which brewery sold out or which brewery has an owner who caused them this or that offense, or which brewery is owned by some like former professional disc golfers. I mean, it is, the beer culture and scene in Bend is just hilarious. And I'm not a brew connoisseur of any sorts, but I really do love observing that angle. all.
Excellent. You mentioned culture. The one thing that we didn't mention is there is also now the Bend Film Festival, which has been there for the last decade or so, an indie film festival, one of the top indie film festivals in the U.S. And there are also four hard cidery companies, which is news to my ears since I don't like beer. I love breweries. Don't get me wrong. I go to breweries all the time, not just because my wife is a beer drinker, but because I often love the food there.
Yeah, and there are distilleries as well in Bend. So, you know what? There's a flavor for everyone.
And if you had to summarize Central Oregon in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
I'm going to say stark, unforgiving beauty.
Ooh, that's lovely. Okay. Excellent. And you are, again, are Catherine Ryan Gregory, but you knew that, from toandfrofam.com. And if we wanted to send people to toandfrofam.com to your best post on Central Oregon, where are we going to send them?
Yeah, you can find sort of an epic Central Oregon guide that includes a lot of the details that we discussed here in the itinerary, plus more, and additional sort of deep dives into some of the places that I discussed. And that's at toandfrofam.com/central-oregon-guide.
And I'll put a link to that in the show notes or in the lyrics of this episode as well. And then you have two other family travel resources that we wanted to share with people, and what are they?
Yeah, during the pandemic, I wrote a handful of books because that's what one does during lockdown, right?
I did not get that memo.
I know people always told me I was crazy, but I guess that's what I do. The first one is called Virtual Travel Activities for Kids, and it includes something like 300 no prep activities that kids can do to explore the world without leaving home. And the second is Road Trip Games and Activities for Kids, although it is also a great resource for adults who also like to play and might be driving around either locally or in farther day trips, like going out to Painted Hills. And it sort of rehashes some old classics and introduces some new games as well. And both of those can be found on Amazon.
And what is your favorite road trip game?
Oh, boy. Well, if you ask my kids, they love Fortunately Unfortunately. But personally, I have a very soft spot in my heart for Is It Bigger Than a Bread Box?
Okay. Not Slug Bug.
No, I had too many bruises from a kid.
For the people who don't know that, that's where you get to hit your sister every time you see a VW bug. Fortunately, they don't make those as much anymore. So a lot of parents are grateful for that. Catherine, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Oregon and especially for Central Oregon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Chris.
In news of the committee, first a thank you to our patrons of the show who help support the show, including our latest patron, Jeff Haydenek. Thanks, Jeff. And if you don't know, patrons of the show get the show a little early. They get an ad-free version of the show, and we also do monthly calls. Depending on the level you sign up, you can also get a sticker or a mug. And you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. Had a couple new reviews of the show on Apple Podcasts. One I won't read because language people, but it was a 4-star review because they didn't like the Mysore episode on India. But the other one was a 5-star review from Sea Charmed. It says, satisfied my travel bug when being grounded. As a person who lives and dies from one adventure to the next, being grounded in 2020 and now in 2021 has been challenging. I'm grateful to have a podcast that allows me to feel that I am traveling to new places that I've never been, as well as opening my mind to revisiting other places that I've been before with a local perspective. Thank you so much for having this podcast and can't wait to hear what you have coming next. Thanks so much. I got an email a while back from Aaron who said, when I received a new iPod for Christmas in 2007, your show was probably the first podcast I found before I even really understood what podcasts were. These many years later, I am thankful that your work among all the others has thrived. Not only did you get me started in an amazing new platform, I have a podcast myself, and Aaron's podcast is The Hungry Trilobite Podcast, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but you gave me inspiration on how to plan trips when I was fresh out of college and just getting started in life. Truly, I cannot thank you enough. I would like to suggest a topic for you, and I understand it is a step to the side of your usual destinations, but after 700 plus episodes, perhaps that's what you're looking for. My favorite cruise so far, and really my favorite trip ever, has been the Star Trek cruise. Would you be interested in having me do a review about it for your channel, blog, or something else? I was on a third trip, and I'm scheduled to go on to the fifth. Standard Weird World disclaimer applies. The STC managed to surprise me both as a seasoned cruise traveler and as a person who has attended countless fan conventions, and I'd really enjoy the chance to reach out to cruise fans who haven't considered the possibility of a theme cruise. Regardless, thanks so much for all you've done, and thanks for reading. Aaron. So one of the reasons that I read that other part that I don't normally read, which is somebody pitching me an episode, because this is an episode I said, no thanks, I always do shows that are about destinations, is I've got a question for you, you, the audience, the listener of the show. I am actually backing away from This Week in Travel, which I've been doing for 11 years. Still love those people, but I'd like to do something on my own. It's just so hard to schedule with four hosts. They're actually going to rebrand and reintroduce that show the next time we can actually manage to schedule a time to come on. So I'm stepping away from that, and I'm thinking about starting another podcast because I am just that crazy. And I've got a couple different ideas that I'm thinking of. One is all sorts of different ideas about side hustles and retiring early and retiring abroad and working as a digital nomad, an idea that I'm calling off-ramp, sort of getting out of the regular routine of how we live our lives normally, the 9-to-5, watch Netflix at night, and then retire at 67 and go golf. And then I'm also thinking, maybe separately or maybe instead, of doing an amateur traveler show that would be topical. So we'd still do the regular amateur traveler, or I would still do the regular amateur traveler. You're not doing it actually right now. But then I would also do an amateur traveler topics in travel show. And that one we'd talk about theme cruises or more how-to, maybe budget travel or how to book airlines or things like that. So I'm curious what you think of both ideas, the off-ramp idea and the amateur traveler topics in travel idea. So please let me know. Send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. I haven't been mentioning affiliate links for a little while on the show, but remember, you can also support the show as you book your travel if you've gotten your vaccine and you're ready to go by going to amateurtraveler.com/affiliates. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more.